Here we go. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this July 12th. It's a Friday. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and you may hear some noise behind our microphone because the city is doing sewer work in our area, digging holes. So there may be a little noise during this broadcast. Where does faith come from? That's the question for this episode. Have you ever taken a bold step of faith and had it lead to failure? If so, I would thank you. I would rather try and fail than never try at all. It's been said, if at first you don't succeed, relax. You're just like the rest of us. But what about those times when you take that step of faith and it succeeds? Well, that reminds us of a Bible story. The disciples were alone in a boat. Jesus was not with them. They were crossing over the Sea of Galilee when a violent wind came up, seemingly out of nowhere. Now, most of these men have been around this body of water their whole lives, but that didn't make the passage easy. Matthew's account says the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Matthew 14, verse 24. Now, the Greek word used for buffeting actually means to torture or torment. That's something that pastors need to be aware of when they are about to preach a sermon on a Sunday morning. You have no idea how many of your members are being buffeted by torture or torment. The waves were crazy that night, and in the boat, they have thought that their discipling days were over. Then, sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., they saw Jesus, his robe billowing in the wind, walking toward them out of the darkness, walking on the water. He called to them, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." That's Matthew 14, verse 27. And that set the stage for one of the great dramatic encounters in the New Testament or anywhere else. Wow. Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus responded to Peter, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and began to walk on the water, walking toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. He shouted, "Save me, Lord." Now Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Matthew 14, 28 to 31. Don't you love that story? What a stunning step of faith Peter took that stormy night. He did what no one else in the boat would do, or maybe even think of doing. Sometimes people criticize Peter for being outspoken or putting his foot in his mouth. A lot of ink is given in the Gospels to Peter's faux pas and shortcomings. But let's not forget, he was the only one of the disciples who was willing to put it all on the line in the wee hours of the morning and walk on the water toward Jesus. When he began to walk, he had no safety net. He was not wearing water wings, and there was no backup plan. It was either Jesus coming through for him or nothing. So the question we're asking, where did this faith come from? Well, if you had listened to the Bible passage, it came from the word of Jesus. Peter had asked permission, and Jesus said, come. The scripture tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. And Peter heard that word of God that blustery night, calling to him out of the darkness and across the water. I can think of many times over the years where I've heard the Lord say to me, come. No, I've never heard the audible voice of God. And to be honest, I'm suspicious of people who say they have. But I've had the Lord very clearly direct me. I can think of certain moments in my life where I knew without a doubt that it was the will of God for me to do a certain thing. But it was never a slam dunk. No, it had to be me listening to the faith that comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It never was a slam dunk. There's always a risk involved. So Peter took a huge step of faith, but it wasn't impossible for him because he was looking across that stretch of tortured water at Jesus himself, the Son of God. That's the key. You look to Jesus. My mind goes back to an incident in the life of King Jehoshaphat. That's David's great, great, great grandson. This little nation of Judah was under attack by multiple enemies bent on their destruction. Sounds familiar? Their enemies were already on the march. Judah was vastly outnumbered, and there was no time to plan an adequate defense. So King Jehoshaphat made the best choice possible. He called for a national prayer meeting. All the nation assembled, men, women, and little ones. Standing up in their midst, Jehoshaphat prayed aloud, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army which is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. That has to be one of the favorite prayers in the Bible. "Lord, we don't know what we are able to do. We don't know how to escape. We don't have a plan to defend ourselves. But our eyes are on you, Lord. We look to you as our only help and hope." And as we know, God often comes through in a spectacular, unforgettable way. How many times I, as a pastor, have given that word of hope to members of the congregation who are about to undergo serious surgery. The New Testament tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what Peter did. Now, only for a moment or two. But then, when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. Matthew 14, verse 30. We all, as Christians, have lapses of faith. You may be walking in faith one day and then have an attack of fear in the night and not have it the next day. You can have faith for an hour, but it slips away a few minutes later. You're believing God. You're taking risk. You're applying faith. You're quoting scripture. Then all of a sudden, the what if questions start buzzing around your head like a swarm of bees, and you lose the handle on your faith and resolve. What do you do in a situation like that? You do what Peter did. You immediately call out to Jesus. It's interesting to me that scripture says he began to sink, or he started to sink. It didn't happen instantaneously, but he felt himself slipping. He felt himself going under, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Matthew, who was intently watching all this from the safety of the boat, writes that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. He said to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Matthew 14, verse 31. Don't you love that word? Immediately, Jesus didn't wait while Peter sank. He didn't say, "Well, I'll let the water get up to the neck to teach him a lesson." No, Jesus immediately and instantly reached out and pulled him back up. Did Peter think about that in later years? How he was pulled out of the water by the hand of God, the very hand that had created the entire galaxy in 6 24-hour days. Maybe as you read these words, you are experiencing your own lapse of faith. It's okay. It's no disgrace. Just call out to Jesus. No matter what other people may tell you, we all have those moments where we forget what we should remember. As someone has so aptly said, we should never believe our doubts, and we should never doubt our beliefs. Instead, we should believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. So yes, Peter failed, but what a spectacular failure. I have heard it said, if at first you don't succeed, relax. You are just like the rest of us. I would rather take a bold step of faith in my efforts to honor God and fail, falling flat on my face, than tiptoe around all risk and accomplish nothing for Jesus. Many people do nothing at all with their faith, but then they have the audacity to criticize others who do apply their faith and venture into the unknown. Perhaps at some point in your life, you took a bold step of faith and it didn't go as you had hoped. You shared the gospel with someone and they may have shut down or took offense. You started a little home Bible study and either no one showed up, even the dog and the cat left. Maybe you prayed for someone who was sick and their condition got worse. I remember a friend of mine really sick and asking me to pray for him. Of course, I said, yes, I will. I did pray for him, and he got violently ill after that. A couple of days later, he called me and said, "Do me a favor. Never pray for me again. Okay?" The church is composed of many people who have stepped out, who have crawled over the side of the boat and taken risks for the sake of the name of Jesus. Yes, I will. I did pray for him. And after that prayer, he got better. But some even died. And yet the prayer was answered as they were taken up into heaven in the spirit. For Jesus said, "Pray to me, and all things will work together to your good." Put your place in the disciples. When Sunday evening, after Jesus had been crucified, they found themselves in an upper room, totally out of their minds, because Jesus had died on the cross. Later, they would learn the purpose of that death. Later, they would learn and hear the words of Jesus. And that meant that another disciple by the name of Thomas, a week later, referred to Jesus as "my Lord and my God." Our Father, he sees what is done in secret. He will comfort you. Maybe like Peter on the Sea of Galilee, you stepped over the side of the boat in 141 feet of water and sank like a rock. And maybe you also felt the strong hand of Jesus pull you up again and walk you to safety, whether it meant that you were healed of your doubts, healed of your fears, and comforted by the word of Jesus. For you did what God the Father told the disciples to do on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to him. The plunge into cold water can be well worth the remedy. Holding hands with the Lord of all. This is a wonderful message answering the question, where does faith come from? It comes from our listening to Jesus, in our calling to him for help and comfort. And that occurs 24 hours a day, in the daytime, in the darkness, whenever we have a need. That is the promise of Jesus. That is a promise that the disciples saw again and again. Not just when they were on the Sea of Galilee another time and they had to wake Jesus up because he was sleeping in the boat. They thought they were going to drown again, but instead they did not drown. what happened? Jesus stood up in the boat, awoke from his sleep, and said to the water and the wind, "Be still." And the disciples, even at that time, were still unaware of whom he was. Who is this man that can still wind and wave? How could they have not come to the conclusion that Jesus was God? How could they think he was only a man when he did what only God in the Old Testament did? Still the waters of the Red Sea and help the people get to safety. And then destroy the Egyptian army. That's Jesus. That's why we remember the cross each and every moment of our life, calling upon Jesus in the day of trouble, hearing his promise that he will save us. So in answer to the question, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the voice of Jesus and calling upon him. Join us Monday to hear more of that voice. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.